Thank you, Steve. A little background on my sermon tonight is that when I was in Mexico, I was asked to take charge of a Sunday school lesson in Yobain. And I asked what they were studying, and they were studying the armor of God. And because of some of the comments and questions that I received from that congregation, I thought that I would try to turn it into a sermon. Now I know that sometimes Sunday school lessons don't work very well as a sermon because the interaction between the class and the teacher isn't there in a sermon. So I may revert and start asking questions, so you might stay alert. Listen to what I have to say, because I may ask questions, because I may think, man, I'm in a Sunday school lesson in Yobain. Please feel free to answer me in Spanish. And we'll see what we can go, see how we can go from there. One of the things that we talked about when we was in Yobain was the state of the world today. And I think that each one of us, no matter who we are, no matter how old we are, realize that the state of the world today is in a kind of a precarious situation. We're buffeted. We're buffeted by the things of the devil. We're buffeted by the things of the world. And we have to have in our behalf a weapon. A weapon that we can use to fight against this buffeting that we're receiving from the world. And I'd like to turn over, if you will, turn over with me to Ephesians, the 6th chapter. And I'm going to start tonight at verse 10. And I'm going to read 10 through 12. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We're told in verse 10 to be strong in the Lord. You know, we need to remember the Lord's power. We need to remember His might. We need to remember that as He said it, the world was created. And as He said, let there be light, there was light. The power and might of God cannot be comprehended by our feeble minds. But nothing is impossible to our God. Our God can move mountains. Our God can reshape the looks of the land. Our God can raise up people to Him. Our God can make the weak men strong. And our God can make the strong men weak. And To fight against the wiles of the devil, we need to remember this power of God and that He has promised this power to you and I through obedience unto Him. This power to be able to fight against the wiles of the devil. And He's given us an armor. And I think back of the armor and how it has progressed through the ages. Probably back in the Book of Mormon times and these times, all that the armor was maybe an animal skin that has been tanned, that was maybe on a shield. And they used that shield to throw away, to deflect the darts and the arrows of the adversary. And maybe they had a skin wrapped around their head to protect them from the stones that were thrown at them, or maybe the clubs that were used to hit their head. This was about all that these people had in this time. But then we go on and we find that they had armor made of chain metal that would protect them a little bit more against the sharpness of the swords and the spears that were used against them. Then in medieval times, we see the full armor that weighed many, many pounds that they could hardly move in, all covered with metal. Then now we hear about the bulletproof vests that some of our police wear that will stop the modern bullet. Our armor has progressed, our physical armor. But we're not fighting against a man. Oh, I wish that we were fighting against a man. I wish I could see our enemy. For if we could see our enemy, we could use our strength, our wiles, our craftiness to subdue him. We could tie him up. We could put him out of commission. If we were fighting against a man. But we're not fighting against a man. We're fighting against the rulers of darkness. We're fighting against thoughts. We're fighting against ideas. We're fighting against wickedness. And against these things, we can't use knives or guns or spears or clubs. We can't use these things to fight against those things that we cannot see. We have to use the armor of God. Those certain attributes that He has given each one of us, that we can stand against the devil. And it's not black and white. The devil is subtle. The devil is crafty. And he's able to make good look bad and bad look good. Because of his wiles and his intelligence and his craftiness. We tend to think of the devil as that being with horns and a tail. Brothers and sisters, that's not the devil. The scriptures tell us that the devil can appear as an angel of light. If he can do that, brothers and sisters, we must use all of this armor of God to fight against him. To be able to overcome him. To just be able to survive. Survive. You know, one of the first things that's mentioned, I'm going to read a little more. I'm going to read 13 through 17. Wherefore, take upon you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The first thing that's mentioned here is truth. Truth. It's a strong weapon against the devil. It's a strong weapon against the opposition. It's hard to fight against the truth. But how do we know the truth? How do we know the truth? We need to study. We need to read the words in the Bible and the Book of Mormon, Latter-day Revelation. We need to be able to tell what truth is. Because in those contain all the truths that you and I need to know to fight against the wiles of the devil. And what are some of those truths that we need to know? What are some of those truths that you and I need to know to fight against the devil? One of the things that we're experiencing down in Yucatan, and one of the reasons that I have this sermon made up, one of the things that they are fighting is, who are you? Who are you? And what right do you have to be? What is your church? What do you stand for? What do you believe in? Are you a cult? These things are being faced in Yucatan today. And maybe we need to face them here. One of the things that's being faced in Yucatan, and some of our locals are fighting this thing right now, today. It doesn't matter what church you belong to. Because we all believe in Jesus Christ. We're all going towards that same direction. Brothers and sisters, I hear that today, here in the United States. We're all one big happy family. In 1820, a young man named Joseph Smith was going through some things. Because there was a religious revival. And he didn't know what to do. He didn't know which one to join. The Methodists over here. The Presbyterians over here. The Baptists over here. And they were all trying to influence him to join with them. Ironically. And this is a little point of history that you might want to file when you're in your minds. Ironically, one of the ones who was courting Joseph Smith was a Methodist minister named George Lane. And in the writings of Oliver Cowdery and the writings of William Smith, we're told that this Reverend George Lane told Joseph that he should take it to the Lord in prayer. Well, he did just that. He went into the woods to pray. Now I want you to listen to this. I want you to file this away in your mind. He was told in that vision, that revelation from God, join none of them. Their creeds are an abomination in my sight. And brothers and sisters, I challenge you to find anything since that time that has overruled that. If it was true then, in 1820, and God has given us no other revelation, then it's true today. Join none of them. Their creeds are an abomination in my sight. It does matter what church you belong to. It does matter. We belong to the Church of Christ, established by the laws of the land in 1830, April 6th. And it's set up according to the way that it was set up in the days of old. And if a church claimed to be the church of Christ or a church of Christ, and it is not set up according to that which the scriptures tell us, and I would turn over to 1 Corinthians 12:28. And God has set some in the church. First apostles. Secondarily prophets. Thirdly teachers. After that, miracles, gifts of healings, helps, government, diversities of tongues. If those things are not in those churches of the world, then they are not the church of Christ. It does matter what church you belong to. I'd like to turn over to Psalms 25:5. Psalms 25:5 says, and this is a prayer. And it's the prayer that should be in your hearts, and it's the prayer that's in my heart. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. We need to have God teach us those truths that you and I need to know to defend this gospel of Jesus Christ. One strong weapon that you and I can use against the wiles of the devil. And let me tell you, it is the wiles of the devil that put into our minds that it doesn't matter what church you belong to. That it doesn't matter. We're all going in the same direction. That is the wiles of the devil that's telling you that. We need to pray that you and I are able to recognize the truth when we see it. Recognize the truth when it's told to us. And counterwise recognize the deceits. And recognize the lies that we hear from time to time. The second one mentioned is righteousness. Right living. Always doing the right thing. I'd like to turn over to Matthew. And just read one verse. I'm going to read the 5th chapter of Matthew, the 20th verse, if you're following along. 5th chapter of Matthew, the 20th verse. It says, "For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven." That's a pretty strong statement. A pretty strong statement. That our righteousness must be greater than those that we come in contact with. Now, I don't know who the scribes and Pharisees of this day is, but I can take this scripture and say, if we're not more righteous than any of the other churches, if we're not more righteous than those in the world that we come in contact with, we can in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven. I didn't say that. The Bible says that. The scriptures say that. We're given a commandment to be more righteous. Let me tell you one thing. There are people out there in the world today who love God, who follow His commandments, who are more righteous than you and I. We must overcome this. We must be the ones who are the most righteous. Our righteousness must exceed that of the righteousness of the world. And brothers and sisters, in my travels throughout the church, I don't believe we're there. I don't believe I'm there. I'm a long way from it. But we must look at ourselves. We must examine ourselves and ask ourselves a hard question. Are we doing the right thing in all instances? Or do we let our jealousies, our wants, our needs, our desires to come between us and our righteousness? The next thing mentioned is having on the gospel of peace. You know, Christ preached peace. It's a very important part of His gospel. If you look up peace in the concordance, they're just row after row after row where we can find it in the Bible and the Book of Mormon. Peace. The gospel of peace. Mosiah. Book of Mormon. Mosiah. Second chapter. This is on page 219. Mosiah 2, first six verses. And now it came to pass that when King Benjamin had made an end of speaking the words which he had delivered unto him by an angel of the Lord, that he cast his eyes round about on the multitude, and behold, they had fallen to the earth, for the fear of the Lord had come upon them. You know, brothers and sisters, I truly believe that we as a church of Christ don't have that fear of the Lord that these people had. And they viewed themselves in their own carnal state, even less than the dust of the earth. And they all cried aloud with one voice, saying, "Oh, have mercy! And apply the atoning blood of Christ, that we may receive forgiveness of our sins, and our hearts may be purified. For we believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who created heaven and earth and all things, who shall come down among the children of men." And it came to pass that after they had spoken these words, the Spirit of the Lord came upon them, and they were filled with joy, having received a remission of their sins, and having peace of conscience because of the exceeding great faith which they had in Jesus Christ, who should come according to the words which King Benjamin had spoken unto them. Why did these people have peace? Because they were able to see themselves as they were. They were able to see their weaknesses and deal with them. They were able to see their relationship with God, their nothingness and God's greatness, and accept it. And they believed in Jesus Christ. And what's more, they believed in that atoning blood that Christ shed for them. And we have this same promise, brothers and sisters, that atoning blood of Christ was shed for you and I. So we can have this same peace that they had. As we go about our fight against spiritual wickedness. Colossians 3:15 says, "Let that peace of God rule in your hearts." It should be first in your hearts. Philippians 4:9, one verse. Well, I'm going to read two verses. Finally, brethren, starting with 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. And this is Paul talking. He's telling them, whatever you've seen me do, do. And the God of peace will be with you. The next thing listed is the shield of faith. And this verse tells us that it's above all. It's the most important thing that we can have in our arsenal of weapons to fight against spiritual wickedness, to fight against the devil. The shield of faith. It protects our whole body. It's a faith in God. And it's a faith in Jesus Christ. And it's a faith that God will intercede in our lives. A faith not only that there is a God, not only that He is, but that He's concerned about you and I. He's concerned on how we live. He's concerned if we make it or not. And He's willing to give us all the help that we need if we obey. Mosiah, the second chapter. This is probably the 6,000th time I've read this, but I want you to listen to it. On page 220, starting with verse 13, believe in God, it says. Believe in God. Believe that He is and that He created all things, both in heaven and earth. Do we believe that, brothers and sisters? Do we have the faith to believe that He created all things? Both in heaven and earth. Believe that He is all wisdom and all power, both in heaven and earth. Do we believe that He is all power? Do we believe that we can call on His name and partake of that power that He has? Believe that man doth not comprehend all things which the Lord can comprehend. And that is a stickler for modern day man. Modern day man has come so far. So many great things have happened in the last 50 years that it's hard for modern man to comprehend that he's not as smart as our God. We've done great things. But we could do nothing. We could do nothing without the help of God. And again, believe that ye must repent of your sins and forsake them, and humble yourselves before God, and ask in sincerity of heart that He would forgive you. Do we believe this? Do we believe that we must repent? Do we believe that we must put those things behind us? And do we believe that we must ask God in sincerity of heart to forgive us of those sins that we all commit? To have the shield of faith to help us in our fight against the devil. We need to believe these things. And now if you believe all these things, see that you do them. See that you do them. One of the things, brothers and sisters, that really impressed me about our people in Yucatan is their simple faith. Their childlike faith. They don't take the time to reason it out in their minds after every service. Bar none. After every service, you look down and right here in front is anywhere from 5 to 20 people wanting to be administered to. Believing without a doubt that they will receive a blessing. And you know what? They do. We need that faith. We need that faith. The next thing mentioned is the helmet of salvation. Christ went to the cross to die for our sins. This is a part of a plan that God had for the salvation of those who trust and obey. And the knowledge that we have of that salvation that God has offered us gives us a weapon to fight against the powers of darkness. Because in our fight against the powers of darkness, if we have this knowledge of salvation and we happen to fall in that fight, and there have been many over the years and there will be those in the future that fall in that fight, that will be martyred, that will be killed, that will lose their lives because of their belief. But if we have that knowledge of the salvation of Christ, the knowledge that He will take us to Him, it gives us a mighty weapon in our fight against the wiles of the devil. I'd like to turn over to Psalms. In the 37th Psalm, I'm just going to read one verse, and it's the 39th verse. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in time of trouble. We need that salvation of the Lord, that knowledge of the salvation to be our strength, to see us through those times of trouble that beset each one of us. The next thing listed was the sword of the Spirit. Each one of us has been given that Spirit. We heard this morning from our brother Randy. He read it in the Book of Mormon that Spirit is given to all men to know good from evil. And those of us who have been baptized and had hands laid upon our heads have received the Spirit of the Holy Ghost. But we need to heed that Spirit. We need to listen to that still small voice that comes to each one of us to warn us of trouble. To warn us of times that the devil is trying to reach out and subtly draw us into him. The times of danger, the times of trials, the warning that God wants to give you and I. We need to recognize it. That Spirit will lead you. That Spirit will comfort you. That Spirit will warn you. It will tell you the things that you need to do. It will tell you the things that you shouldn't do. It will tell you the things you should say. And maybe more importantly, the things you should not say. For sometimes we say things that hurt, cut. The wiles of the devil. Verse 18 in the 6th chapter of Ephesians says, praying always, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Lastly, in the list of the things that we need in our fight against the wiles of the devil is the spirit of prayer. We need to pray that God will be a part of our daily lives. Pray that God would intercede when the devil is about to overtake us. Pray over every part of our lives. In Nephi, the 14th chapter, 2 Nephi, the 11th and 12th verses. For if ye would hearken unto the Spirit which teacheth a man to pray, ye would know that ye must pray. And that Spirit is of God. He's telling each one of us, you need to pray. For the evil spirit teacheth not a man to pray, but teacheth him that he must not pray. But behold, I say unto you that ye must pray always and not faint. And ye must not perform anything unto the Lord, save in the first place ye shall pray unto the Father in the name of Christ, that he will consecrate thy performance unto thee, that thy performance may be for the welfare of thy soul. And that's what this armor of God is about. It's a way, if we use it, to protect our souls from the wiles of the devil. So put on all this armor, and you'll be able to stand against the power of Satan. And you know what's more important? You'll please your Heavenly Father. Thank you.